To Warn Radio. Warn Radio with your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower.
Thanks for listening.
One.
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio. I am Tower and we are glad you joined us. If you would like to send correspondence or inquiries of the WIBR Warn Radio Network, you can do so by going to our contact page on warn-usa.com. You can also find the WIBR Warn Radio on Linktree by going to our sites warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. And you can follow the Warn Radio Network on Twitter by using hashtag WatchmanIS216 and hashtag Warn Radio. On LinkedIn, it's hashtag Watchman, and you can join us on USA.life and MeWe with hashtag Warn Radio. And you'll also find the WIBR Warn Radio on Parler and Clout Club. And you can listen to our shows through the following carriers: Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes Players, Apple Podcast, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music, Warn Radio Visions on Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Addict, CastBox, Google Podcast, Anchor, Deezer, and Podchaser. And I want to admonish you to take time to read the pertinent articles by The Watchman. They apply to this day and age we live in, and they're very important. They're inspired and anointed. The first one we feature is America's Righteous Truth. America's Righteous Truth is here. One choice is clear today. The other choice is what is happening today, especially in America. I speak of doing that which is right in your own eyes, a problem that has existed before. This forsakes the Word of God as a foundation. Also, loving the brethren in Christ Jesus, but not as Cain. Loving the brethren in Christ Jesus, but not as Cain loved his brother. Brethren in Christ, but not as Cain. This is a point for all Christians to remember. And intelligible faith, the three cognitive C's for Christian clarity. Intelligible faith is Christian clarity. It is not putting our faith into a system of philosophy like all other religions and ideas of men, but to understand that in the world there is only one hope and one Redeemer, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. And you can read those stories by going to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. And now I welcome in the Watchman.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing good. We are here again. Good grief. I can't believe it.
On a Wednesday? the 19th day of August. That's crazy how fast it's gone.
2020. And think of 2021. I mean, it seems like 20 years. That's what it was. I helped with the 2000 census 20 years ago.
Wow. That's incredible.
Tara and I, Tower and
yeah, that was a long time ago. It seems like a long time ago that we did that.
Well, it was, and it reminded me because they're doing census again.
Yeah.
They did it in 2010 and again in 2020.
I don't remember the 2010 one.
I don't either. I wasn't paying any attention.
Yeah, me either.
I was glad I wasn't having to do it. At any rate, we are starting out with the Saudis calling on the UN to embrace the law of Islamophobia. And anybody that's opposed to Islam, this is the doctrine. It says suffering from a phobia. Well, they get that from homophobia.
Yeah.
Transphobia. Democrat phobia. Matter of fact, maybe we ought to send all the Democrats to see a doctor.
I might have Democratic phobia.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm not allergic to nuts, so the Democrats don't bother me. I don't like what they say. I think half the time they're nuts, and I don't read the news. I don't listen to them. So at any rate, the Saudi Arabia called on the UN to embrace Islamophobia as racism, and it raises the alarm for global religious freedom. That comes out of Barnabas Fund, or Barnabas.org, or Barnabas Aid. So the Saudi head of human rights at the UN, this is in Geneva, Switzerland, addressed the Human Rights Council. Now, if you've ever looked at the Human Rights Council, you're going to find a lot of countries involved that don't really practice human rights.
No, they are horrible to the people, and I don't know how they got on the Human Rights Council.
And so they talked about the fact that the internet is a space for practicing racism. Well, you know, I mean, if you're preaching the gospel and you declare Jesus Christ as Lord of Lords and King of Kings, automatically they're going to accuse you of something. And we know many years ago, many, many, many years ago, when I first got on, I told Tower the way it would go online eventually.
And it did.
And so it's not going to stop. They're going to continue to crack down, even in the nations. And, of course, here in America, if we let the Democrats win. And really, I'm waiting to see what the Lord will do. So when it comes to a lot of the Christians we have and the pastors in this country that we have, I pretty much stay away from a lot of them, especially the ones that I see that are saying things that I disagree with. I do all my talking in my writings and preaching and teaching, and so if you want to hear my opinions, that's where you go. If you don't care to read them, then you don't need to know. But the biggest solution to all this sin is repentance. And so at any rate, you know, I mean, you might know that they would call for this. And
it's
of course,
not surprising.
No, well, Saudi Arabia is supposed to be a friend, but Saudi Arabia is also the one that helped build a lot of the mosques around the world.
That's where supposedly a lot of the, from 9/11, wasn't it? From Saudi Arabia, all those people that drove or flew planes into the towers?
Well, you know, talk about a phobia. We could have a phobia in this country, but we don't. You know, we think Saudi Arabia is a friend, even after all the Saudi hijackers of the planes and stuff and destroyed the tower. I guess we got over it.
Well, I guess.
Well, you know, in New York, they didn't do anything to allow the tower to be up, but, you know, they had a memorial, closed that down. Of course, nobody stops them from rioting on the streets. That can still be allowed, but, you know, some of the other stuff, you got to do it. Cuomo was at the meeting, and he was congratulating himself on a job that went real well, when just today, the deaths that they put up, they were putting up, instead of 6,000 that he's talked about, it's actually 11,000 or even more.
Wow.
In the New York nursing homes. This guy did anything but a good job. The same way with de Blasio. And so while we're all confined with this and caught up in all this, we have Saudi Arabia running to the UN saying, you know, nobody can say anything against Islam. But at any rate...
Yeah, they want to fine people as much as $133,000.
Now, there is General Secretary of the world's biggest Muslim organization. I can't even say it. He asserted that Islamophobia is not rooted in racism, that the distrust of Muslims in many countries is a result of Islamist extremism and terrorism throughout the world. Really? You think? Well, you know, and then you have the fact that Turkey took the Hagia Sophia Cathedral, which was Christian. And, of course, this goes way, way back when the Ottomans first invaded over there. And, of course, it was the Eastern Empire. And, of course, they had, you know, a big sinner. And this particular Hagia Sophia was one of the big ones out there. And, of course, they captured it all. And
that was like a museum. Didn't they turn that into a museum?
Well, it was, you know. And it reopened as a mosque this year. And
that's wrong.
Well, it, you know, they're the ones in charge. They're the ones that won the battle. You know, it's theirs to do with what they want. They don't know the Christians anything. Not a thing. You know, it's about time that the world wakes up and understands Islam is not a friend.
That's right.
Now, you can have nice Islamists, you know, Islamists that... aren't like this, but there is a whole radical undercurrent here that is openly trying to produce a one world government under the Mahdi. And so, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you know, me and Islamic states don't exactly jive together. I wouldn't live in one ever. And just like I'm not going to live in a socialist state. The rest of them can be socialist or whatever they want in America, but I'm not going to be.
That's right. I'm not either.
You know, and so we do have a lot of problems. So when you look at Islamophobia and doing this at the UN, I mean, that's just going to make the one thing that's going to do is just make it able to charge people, you know, to shut them up and throw them in jail. That's all that's going to do.
Yeah.
It's not going to stop anything. And, you know, we do have a thing from Alveda King, and I try to give some things in here about her. I appreciate Alveda King because, of course, she's related to Martin Luther King. And she has a ministry. She likes Trump. And she's always been one to push for peace. and
that's right.
Someone that I can agree with on a lot of things.
And she's a godly woman.
And so I appreciate her. I really do. I appreciate the black voices out there that are not nuts, you know, and appreciate, you know, the other, you know, white, Hispanic, and everything else. In short, I respect Americans that are Americans and especially have hope in God, and they sound like they got some sense.
That's right.
She writes, "My hope is renewed within the deluge of prayer meetings, calls for repentance, revival, transformation, and reconciliation." And she makes a note of in person, on social media, traditional, non-traditional media, and by phone. And she received an unsolicited book in the mail called "Make America Pray Again" at Priests for Life. Or "Make America Pray Again." And then she says that Priests for Life, where I'm the founding executive director of Civil Rights for the Unborn, we pray daily for life and for a God-fearing administration to continue here in America. Now, see, you get on the other spectrum, and the pastor that was preaching today, you know, he's upset about a lot of things that Trump does, but this preacher is not me, but the one that was preaching there, apparently can embrace the Democrats when they have an agenda of abortion. They've got an agenda that it does not bode well with other faiths, you know, especially when you're talking about all the things that they do, which are unbiblical, their platform. And so apparently this preacher, he can throw you some of the gospel down and preach against Trump and all the other Christians in America, but he apparently he doesn't have any idea about blood, guilt, and killing innocent life.
That's right.
So we do have a lot of problems. We have a lot of split. We got a lot of things. And, you know, I appreciate her. She does get a lot of this printed. You know, she does get it published. And I appreciate her voice. And it's desperately needed, because there's a lot of black voices out there, including black preachers, that are off the chart nuts. Really. And you need to have somebody like Alveda out there that might be able to talk to him, might be able to heal the breach. Because there is problems. There's
yes,
problems.
There is.
And, you know, a lot of problems. A lot of issues that doesn't bode well. And so...
Well, it still bothers me about that black pastor that was when President Trump's brother passed away.
Yeah.
And he was talking about how he wished it would have been Trump.
Yeah, he was using the hashtag wrong Trump.
Yeah. And he's a pastor of the a Church of God of Christ.
Yeah, he is.
And to talk like that, that's horrible. There's people I don't care for, but I would never wish them dead. I
no.
wish they would be removed from office, but not through death.
Well, you know, the thing of it is a lot of these pastors, you know, they can be judged too.
That's
they
right.
They will be judged.
It's wrong to wish somebody dead
oh,
or to
yeah.
say something like that. That's horrible.
Anytime you're doing that, you're entering into territory where you can get yourself in trouble.
That's for sure.
No matter how big of an enemy, I don't wish them dead.
Me either, because I know what they'll end up as. Where they'll end up.
But the thing of it is, if I'm in my house and you come into my house to kill my wife or my kids, I'm going to shoot you dead, and I won't have any problem doing it, because that's in defense of my life, and that is a biblical value there. Israel did it, David did it, Abraham did it. The bottom line of it is that there are a lot of people out there that are killing innocent Christians today. And while we're over here diddling around with all this nonsense, Christians are dying, being
that's
beheaded.
Right.
That's the latest thing in Nigeria. They're beheading a lot of them.
Oh, dear God.
And this is, and that's because Nigeria, you know, this knucklehead over there, we've been talking about him forever. And that's the other thing irritating, You know, I mean, we're here dealing with this division and these people who are crazy in this Democratic Party. And these people need to be taken out, every one of them, and pushed and sent to Nigeria somewhere to see how the other half lives. Now, you see, your Muslim states don't work, a lot of them. Not well for Christians. And your socialist states don't work.
That's right.
But in Africa, because of the tribalism that they've had, and that's their background, it's a mess over there. And we need to stop screwing around, stop playing our games, stop trying to overthrow America, stop holding vendettas, and get together, get unified, and create an America that doesn't try to make it into a socialist meme. And that's what these young punks are doing. And if you look at the cities that is facing so much trouble, they're Democratic run. Even Austin, Democratic run. And it's a mess in Austin, Texas. And so, you know, the bottom line of it is that this has to do with politics. This has to do with these Democratic governors and mayors not wanting to do anything to make Trump look bad, so they get up there and they have their little get-to up there and tell everybody it's all Trump's fault when it's not Trump's fault. He's already told them he would help them.
That's right.
He sent the troops into Seattle and they practically did anything to get rid of him. So the whole thing is just nonsense. And meanwhile, we're over here trying to tell you to focus on the Christian church and a lot of these others that are suffering and having trouble. And people are so caught up in this nonsense. And that's what it is, nonsense. I mean, you know, and as far as open borders, there's not one country on earth that just opens the borders and allows you to come in. You can say the EU, but they had to stop that. They realized how foolhardy that was.
That's right.
You know, and even Germany learned how bad that was. You don't open up your borders like fools. You watch your borders, you keep them secure to keep your people secure. And if people come in, you don't want murders, rapists, people that'll come in and destroy it, people that'll come in and bring civil war. And in today's wicked world, we need to make sure we got secure borders and we've got a system to allow people to come in so they appreciate it. The bottom line of it is the Democrats are not a friend of freedom. They're not a friend of this country. They're a friend of tearing everything down. And unfortunately, there's a wide gulf. Meanwhile, we've got a slaughter going on around the world, don't we, Tower?
Oh, it's horrible. Unbelievable.
And so, well, with that, we do have a... Now, this is a good story.
Yeah, I like this story about the family floods and a voice of God.
Yeah, this is from some friends of ours that we know.
Yeah.
So, go ahead.
And this is about... a family of new converts from, I believe, Muslim faith. And they worked on a tea plantation. Her name is Mariah, and her husband is Polani, and they have three children under the age of 10. And as she was working, she felt uneasy in her spirit, and at night she couldn't sleep because the rains were pelting down. And as midnight approached, she told her husband about it, and he admitted to the same feeling. And so they're fairly new members of a local church, Bibles for the Mideast. And this young couple is learning to listen to the promptings of God. So in spite of having worked hard the day before and knowing that they would be expected to be back at the next day at the tea plantation, the young parents roused their three children and the family joined in prayer. And all of a sudden they heard this authoritative, audible voice, and it said, "Get out now, run from the house." So they grabbed their Bibles, and that's all they had when they left the house. They ran through the darkness and the rain, and within seconds, heavy stones, mud, and gushing water crushed down, and the settlement vanished under the mess. And the family found their way through the torrential rains to another believer's house, and that's where they're staying now. And this horrific landslide completely obliterated the homes and properties of all the plantation workers while they slept. 11 injured people were taken to local hospitals, and everyone else died, and many are still missing. And Pastor Paul of the Bibles for the Mideast, he visited them after 3 days after the disaster. And he said, "I asked our church to give them needed arrangements and prayed for them. Our congregation is a small one with Hindu converts and laborers of tea estates, all very, very poor." I thought they were Muslims, but here they're Hindu. And they were already being harassed by other workers and local people, so we must be careful to protect them. This ministry is doing what they can to help and provide for their necessities. And so they face this every monsoon season, the fears of flooding, mudslides, and other dangerous conditions that devastate the lives of millions of people across South Asia. So please remember this young family and pray for them and others like them that go through the same thing.
Well, you know, that is a...
That's an amazing story. I love this story, how God moved him out.
Well, you know, that's the thing that, you know, we've heard a lot of, is that the miracles of God are happening right on the edge of destruction and deliverance.
That's right.
There's that moment there. And we've seen it, reported it time and time and time again. And so these things are the things I think that the American church needs to understand, you know.
That's right. And
I firmly believe that God is concerned about his people, that he will never leave them, and that there are miraculous deliverances, and there's going to be those to bring people out of there, and for a sign as well.
Amen.
And so these poor believers, and you know, my heart goes out because they have nothing, these people. They work hard, and I mean literally they don't have anything. In Thailand I talked about it last time. There was a family of believers that had got kicked out of their house, and they were persecuted. And they had a picture of the family standing there, and not one of them had shoes on. I mean, they just have light clothing and no shoes, and that's what they have. And not a one of them has, you know, they have like 5% body fat.
Yeah.
You know, Americans, what do we have? Yeah, you know, when you start thinking, you know, that America, you know, we're so righteous. We've got a long ways to go, but we're not to the point where anyone with any brains would try to make this into a socialist society. There is not one socialist society on earth that is worth a crux. The communists in China is a Marxist theology. And they have, last count was about 1 million Uyghurs in camps. It's in one of the largest camps there is.
Yeah, that's horrible.
And they also are persecuting Christians as we speak. There's a lot of stories coming out of there. We've reported on a lot of them. Christians are being thrown in prison.
Yeah, and they used to have, house-sanctioned churches.
Yeah.
But now they won't even allow those anymore.
Well, plus they're going through the homes and getting rid of anything, any religious material. Now, this is...
And crosses or any symbolism of Christianity.
Yeah, this is Mao. And, yeah. And recently here in America, in one group of these Black Lives Matter protesters were shouting at people. And I think this was up in Sturgis that I heard this.
Well, I thought it was in... Portland or Seattle, because they couldn't do any more damage. But anyway.
Well, you don't know what story I'm going to
lay. Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Well, that's okay. But at any rate, I heard one of the girl, and she says, you know, talking about these Christians and their gospel, you know, and all that. And she was dissing it up one side and down another, and we don't want that, and so, you know, Marxism is anti-God. You know, and Marx said, I think it was Marx, is the opiate of the people. I think that's, is it Stalin or is it Mao? At any rate, the opiate of the people. There's a lot of them that believe that. And Russia is the only other one. And they're, you know, they do have a church over there. But you can't really vary from that. And there's been a lot of Christian persecution in Russia as well over the years. It used to be a closed country. And so if you take those away as the two biggest ones, other than that, you can look at Venezuela, which is a mess. You can look at Cuba, where, look at North Korea.
Oh, man.
The only one that's fat in the whole country is the guy running the country. He has everything.
He's westernized.
Yeah, he is westernized. He's a fat punk that rules that country with an iron fist. And one day he's going to die. And he's going to wish that he hadn't done that. Because right now he's living his life as a king. This is his paradise right now. And he needs to wake up as well. I'd just soon see him wake up and become a believer and change the country around overnight, and you know, I think that'd be a wonderful thing.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah, it would.
I sometimes think he's crossed a line of no return, though, and there's a lot of blood on it. There's a lot of blood on his hands.
There is. Well, in our news shorts today, Vietnam monks are persecuted. You know, this is the Benedictine monastery. I've got the Benedictine monks of, I forgot what island it is. It's not over by Vietnam. And it's called Chant. It was really popular, I don't know, probably about 15, 20 years ago. But anyway, the Vietnamese government... they're trying to kick the Benedictine monastery off their land. Now, they've had that monastery as owned and cultivated since 1940.
Wow.
And they had 107 hectares of forest that the Benedictines, they actually planted it when they moved in.
Wow.
Well, in 1975, the communists didn't like them having so much, so they borrowed 57 hectares. But, of course, when they borrow it, they never give it back.
Right.
And, lately they had people showing up to demand the land surrounding the monastery, and they want it for a tourism company. And the land grabbers claim the land belongs to the government, but it doesn't. It belongs to the monks. But see, when you want to steal stuff, you can come up with all kinds of reasons.
Oh, exactly.
And this is too bad, because all these monks want to do is live in peace and work in peace. But you know, really, if you look at the world, a lot of people, all they want to do is live in peace.
Yeah.
That's it. You know, and in America, people just want to be at peace. You know, and this is a universal thing. A lot of people in America are upset because of Antifa, Black Lives Matter, and all this unrest, the COVID and everything else has got a lot of people stressed out. People want peace. But see, Islam, will also work through chaos. But Marxism, one of the classic workings of Marxists, is to upset the status quo of the people and keep them upset, remove everything they depend on to where they have nothing left, and then you can change them because they're willing, once they start starving, to accept your system. This is Marxism. This is the way it'll work. And in America is no different. If we don't get a handle on this, these bunch of punks backed by some powerful money is going to ruin America. It's not going to be able to help anybody. And that's why I don't think it's going to happen. I really don't. But I'm waiting to see, because I know very well about the judgment, and I've been preaching it for a long time because of what I was shown many, many years ago. Nevertheless, you know, the monks aren't the only one that want to have and live in peace. Another story, radical Islamists tied to Muslim Brotherhood. You know, this is amazing. I've seen this again. There was an update to this. And this is a group that is related to a lot of the others. The guys that are in this particular Islamic group, this is... And, of course, they arrested a Kurdish Christian. And of course, the Kurds, you get over in a part of Syria and also in a part of Iraq, and you will find the Kurds there. And the Kurds are in other places as well, like Iran. But their kingdom that they had was totally destroyed. A lot of them were killed. So this particular Kurdish Christian was commanded to turn over his school that he was headmaster at, because they wanted to turn it into an Islamic educational institution. And he says, I'll hand the building to you in one case only, if Jesus Christ comes down to earth again.
Good for him.
So he wasn't about it, but the update is they arrested him. And this one says, before arresting him, they prevented him from properly burying his wife, who recently passed away.
That's horrible.
And so there was another part of it that I'd seen that another group had written on this. I mean, these are terrible stories, really.
They are.
You know, here's another guy. All he wants to do is be left alone, work for the Lord, teach the kids, and help them. That's all he wants to do.
Yeah.
The Benedictines, all they want to do is live in quiet and pray and chant and do whatever they do, you know. And a lot of them are working all the time. You know, they work the land. They make stuff. They sell stuff. They, you know, it just amazes me. So, you know, the scripture says the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And when he kills, steals, and destroys, he removes the peace, folks. And he's at work around the world. Scripture tells us that the devil is mad, knowing he has but a short time. He was cast down to the earth. And, you know, the devil's here, and he's got hordes of minions, and he has a bunch of human people that cooperate with him. And he uses people. He doesn't have to do too much. He just leads them in deception. So we've got a mess, and it's time for you as a Christian to stand up. It's time for Christians to be united. Those Christians over there, the so-called pastors that are doing some of this nonsense over on the other side for the Democrats, need to get out of the Democratic Party and others, and you need to get together with the Christian Party.
That's
serving
right.
Christ. Get your butt back in the Bible and stop using it to politically cause trouble. But I'm not going to argue with you, because I know very well the Lord will judge you. So, at any rate, you know, and the thing of it is, when we cover these, we want to see, you know, some results. We want to see these people you know, safe that we report on. We want to see the nations of men look above their own problems and get these countries to solve the radical Islamist problem. And that's what it is. If you remove the radical Islamists in the world, you're practically only going to have the radical Hindus, and you can take care of them. Islamic extremists massacre and behead in Mozambique. Now, they were doing over in, they've been, Nigeria is not a safe place. So, northern Mozambique, Africa. Now, this again, tribal. This is a story out of CBN. Leaving churches burned to the ground, people beheaded, and thousands displaced and traumatized. Now, the big question of it is where is the army? There is none. Why isn't someone protecting somebody? Well, I can tell you, most of these are so poor, they don't have the guns and the weapons and the stuff, but a lot of these extremists are well-financed. They have money because they steal it, and they deal on black markets. And I've seen some of the Mexicans now down here south of the border, some of their outfits, and they look like the United States Army with all their accoutrements and their big vehicles. You put some of these Islamic extremists in some of the modern fighting equipment and tanks and trucks and armored carriers, and these poor people in Africa don't have a chance.
Yeah, that's right.
So then they round them up, and anybody's left, they behead them. And they're beheading the Christians is who they are. They're not beheading the Muslims.
Of course not.
But they will kill Muslims. A lot of times Muslims are getting killed in these too. The militants beheaded 15 people in 1 week not too long ago. And, of course, 52 young people who refused to join the Islamic terrorists were killed. In 2017, more than 1,100 people were killed when they tried to eradicate the Christians. And the bishop of Mozambique said the rest of the world looks upon this crisis with indifference. The world still has no idea what is happening because of the indifference.
Yeah.
And because it seems that we have already become accustomed to wars. There's a war in Iraq, there's a war in Syria, there's also now a war in Mozambique. And this is true, folks. We see indifference all the time. And we put all the shows up. We have a lot of different places where these shows are. I put them on all of our social sites. And we recently upped some of the stuff that we do with our social sites to improve more spread with the articles. So folks, when you're listening to these, I need you to make sure this gets out in your social feeds. I need you to make sure that this gets around. I need you to talk about this. You need to share it. You need to tell people to get in there, and they need to support these ministries with boots on the ground. Now, Warren Radio is an advocacy agency, so we relate the stories from others, and we tell you to support those agencies on the ground. Warren Radio, though, you know, because of support that we have had over all these years from others, we've been able to do, and because of the way the Lord has helped us to do this. I do a majority of the work, and Tower helps me. But, you know, we need funds for advertisement, and that is to spread the stories around. We need some equipment here, but we can make do. The bottom line of it is we're going to keep getting these stories out, because the most important thing, you know, we don't need your money, you know, personally. But we can use some people praying for us, helping us to get the word out. And if you don't have money, that's fine. I don't care. I'm not here for your money anyway. I'm just mentioning this to tell you that none of this is free. And there are dozens, you know, there are so many podcasts out there you can shake a stick at. I mean, you can't even keep track of them all. But we're doing this with a purpose. We're not here to become famous. We're not here for you to know who we are. We're here to let you know about the people that need help. That's why we're here. And if you already support ministries overseas like that, that's great. Don't feel guilty at all. But the bottom line of it is, we need to help these people.
Yes, amen.
And with that, we do have another one. Are you ready?
Yes, I love this story.
Okay, go ahead.
This is amazing. Another story of God at work. He's a God of restoration. And this is about a young girl in Malta. Her name is Delilah. And she was raised in an abusive home. It was marred by violence and drugs. And she became involved with drugs at 13. And she was surrounded by an atmosphere of dominant men. So she viewed herself as needing to protect women from men. And so Delilah took on a masculine appearance, as seeing herself, when she saw herself as a feminine, it made her feel weak and subject to abuse. She also turned to alcohol to find an escape from the stressors around her. And she wanted to find that sense of belonging in the world, of finding happiness. And she tried in all sorts of different things. But it was also a way for her to escape the world that she lived in. And at 15, she became involved in her first same-sex relationship and continued that through her teen years. And she said, as time went on in those relationships, she found there was a deep sense of a void in her life. She could never get that fulfillment she was searching for in these relationships or other things in her lives. And so she just longed in her heart for more and more. Excuse me. Years later, a friend of the family invited Delilah's parents to church, an experience that they described as being hard hit by the power of the Holy Spirit. The change in her family impacted Delilah as well, who had identified as an atheist up to this point. And when she saw her father quitting drugs and her parents became both radically saved, and the atmosphere of the whole house changed and shifted in such a miraculous way, that, and she said that's when the journey for her began, and she started thinking about her faith. And she said strangers would witness to her about Jesus, and so she finally went to church, and that's when her eyes were opened to what Jesus did for her. She said she found that place of being whole in just in Christ, because another person doesn't make you whole. And she said, God had me in this season where I was just immersed in His presence and just focused on who He says I am and building myself up as a woman in Christ. And over time, God showed her that what she thought was a fixed identity in homosexuality, that she was born with it, was not His will for mankind. And He began healing the pain that she'd carried for so many years. He started to take her through seasons and challenges of forgiving people who hurt her. And she was actually going and seeking reconciliation. She had to take that step with her father. And once she did these things, God restored the way she viewed men. And she realized that men weren't all abusive. And as the months passed, her attraction towards women faded, and she began seeing men as handsome, a concept that she had long been foreign to her. And now Delilah is in a relationship with a man and has no interest in turning back. She said, I would never want to be back go back to a homosexual relationship now because I understand what the proper role of a man and how he is supposed to take care and be like an umbrella over the women and his children. She says, the future is exciting in God, and whatever that future is, she's happy to be a child of God and free in the ability to share her story and the power of God. That there is hope for people who do not actually want. There is hope for people who do actually want out of that lifestyle. So that's exciting, what God is doing in the lives of people.
You know, that's one of those stories that just make you feel great.
Yeah, I get goosebumps reading it, and it's just amazing. Thank God. And that's just one story out of many.
Yeah, and that's from persecution.org. You know, the thing of it is that when you look at it, you know, we've seen in these stories tonight miracles, deliverances, people fighting everyday life and coming up with problems and issues. And in every one of them, you know, these are people that look to the Lord. They're going through various stages of trouble. But in all things, as Jesus says, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world.
Amen.
And we can overcome the world. America can overcome this nonsense.
Yes.
You know, God can deliver those in the Democratic Party and in the Republican Party. He can heal a land. But if we have rejected him and refused to listen, then the scripture is, I will choose your delusions and bring your own fears upon you, because when I called, you did not answer. You're going to find that in Isaiah. Now, Paul talks openly about delusion of the end days church, and is found in 2 Thessalonians 2. And that's when the son of perdition comes, the son of destruction. Make no mistake, if you think God does not send delusion and allow it because you are too stubborn to listen, to stop a moment in your everyday life to think maybe there's a better way. See, and this is the problem we have today. We have division, and this is the me generation, the selfish generation in America especially. This is a generation that is always talking about me, my feelings, what you've done to me. I feel, you know, like you're a racist or whatever it is, you know. We are not walking in faith. We're walking on feelings, many people in America. And we're walking on the fact that, well, America's been so good, we're just going to change it and America will still be good. No, you screw around with the Constitution, you destroy the way this government is, you're going to be like a third world country. You're going to have more people dying in this country than you've ever seen. You will never make it. And in the end result, you're going to have a major power come in and take over and kill a lot of people. So the bottom line of it is that when I hear this story, it's like a brush of fresh air. You know,
yes, it is.
You just breathe it in. You say, you know, Lord, thank you for reminding me. You know, in all of the trouble, in all of the chaos, in all of the nonsense, here's somebody that found deliverance and a miracle.
Yeah, it's exciting. I love it.
You know, and, you know, here in America, you can't even talk to people, you know, if they have this, you know. I know many people that had special ministries who are ex-homosexuals, and they were Christians now. And they had big ministries. They had a lot of videos. I know one of them got kicked off of Vimeo, and he had over 1,200, I think it was 1,200 videos.
That's tragic.
You know, and they kicked him off. Because he felt there was a need to deliver homosexuals, and they said, we don't, so they kicked him off. We see that all the time in America today. We have a technology, and we have groups today that openly defy Christianity. They openly defy and they are biased towards Christians, towards conservatives, towards Trump and Trump supporters. It goes on every day while the Democrats cry foul, complain, and bitch and moan. And I'm telling you, you need to start looking at people like Maxine Waters, who is always griping and grouchy. Pelosi's the same way. They're not happy. You look at Trump, as much as they go after him, I've seen the footage. He's smiling and going about his business. And if you go and listen to some of these people who are patriots, they got hope. They hope in America. They know what they believe. So there's a difference here. There is a God and there's a devil. There is truth and there's false. And it's about time you found out what it is, and this young girl found it, and thank God for that.
Well, I believe California passed a law last year, making it illegal to help people who want to get out of that homosexual lifestyle. It's illegal to talk to them or counsel them or anything else.
Well, that's California.
Yeah, and that's the way they will want to make it throughout the whole United States.
Well, they probably will, but the bottom line of it is that God is still going to reach
them. That's right.
You know, we find that throughout the Middle East, the hardest places there in the world, and I'll tell you, this Bible's for the Middle East is in the midst of it. There's other ministries we know of, and there are miracles in spite of the government tactics. Just like Peter said, we must obey God rather than man when they tried to tell him.
That's right.
You know, you can't speak in the name of Jesus. You can't do those things. Well, tough. We're going to do it. We can't help but speak.
We have to obey God rather than man.
Yeah. You know, these governments of men can do whatever they want to. But as Christians, you know, that preacher can do whatever he want to. But I'm telling you, we got to, as believers, stand up, speak the truth, and we also need to stand up and pray for your brothers that are persecuted in Christ around the world.
That's right.
So, at any rate, we're coming down to the end of the show, and you know, it's some good stuff tonight. We talked about Islamophobia, the law in the UN. We talked about Alveda King. Thank God for her.
Yes.
We talked about the family in floods. That was a deliverance there. You know, being told in an audible voice to get out. Oh,
yeah, that is amazing.
Yeah, and it happens, you know.
Thank God.
And that young girl that got delivered, she didn't believe in God until she found him.
Yeah.
I always like that phrase, I found the Lord. And I said it too when I came to the Lord. I said, I found the Lord, but he wasn't lost. He found me. He found Tower. See, the Lord finds you. He searches you out. You're that one sheep that's lost. He's going after you. He finds you. So you need to repent. You need to believe on him. Look at John 1, John 3, John 10 through 18. Read Romans 3 through 7. Read 1 John, the entire book, but begin at 1 John chapter 1. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Read those things. Remember, come to the Lord today. Tower, we got to say goodbye.
Okay, good night, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Be sure to follow us. Be sure to join us tomorrow night for sound. Battle lines on Isaiah. We love you and we thank you for all you do. We appreciate you and thank you for your prayers, and we pray for you. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warn Radio.